Y'all know what it is.
Y'all ready?
Turn it up.
1, 2, 3.
Unscripted, unshackled, uncouth. What you're about to hear is for mature ears only. It's Miguel and Holly, uncensored, from Hot 101.5.
Rolling stones of the raptor, not bragging. Look bigger than Jagger, not sagging. Roll it backwards, I'ma leave it at that.
Well, hello, my friend.
Hi.
It is Miguel and Holly Uncensored after a couple of weeks off.
Sorry.
I blame you, Holly.
I'll take the blame, although I didn't do it on purpose.
Oh.
My household was dealing with lice.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Holly, you were a little shooketh.
I was shook.
Last week as you were dealing with lice in your home.
It was the grossest. I told Mr. Dimples that I called him in a panic and I was like, this is my worst nightmare. And he said, okay, is it really your worst nightmare though?
Of all the awful things that could happen to you?
And I said, I guess not.
Holly, what is your worst nightmare?
I don't know. I don't want to think about it.
Oh.
If you have to think about something that's worse than getting head lice, I don't know. Like, I mean, obviously, I don't want some shooter to come up and shoot in here.
Oh, my gosh.
There's a lot of things that can happen that'd be my worst nightmare, but I suppose lice is pretty far below on that list if it's that we're comparing it to.
Producer Ryan, what's your worst nightmare?
Drowning.
Drowning.
I'll tell you what, I almost drowned once, and it is terrible. Like, oof. You have to...
You almost drowned once.
You did.
Where?
In the ocean in Miami.
Oof. How old were you?
22. A lot of crazy shit happened when I was 22. But
rip current or something?
Exactly. Because I'm from Ohio, so we don't know about that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they probably had a warning. I didn't see it. I don't even, if I had seen it, I wouldn't even know what it meant.
Oh.
But like we go out and we're like in the currents or in the ocean. And the rip current, which is what it does, is it pulls you out. Like the current is going mm-hmm. away from the shore. And the water was a little rough that day, so there was waves coming up going towards the shore. So when that situation happens...
You just get tumbled.
You just go get caught in a loop of seawater. And I had no idea what was happening as it was happening. Because I'm thinking, I can't really reach the bottom like I could before. And right. It was like me, a girl... And two other guys were in the water, and the rest of we were there for a college trip, and the rest of our people were on the beach. And so then it went from, this is weird, to this is real bad.
Oh.
Quickly.
Did a sexy lifeguard come save you?
Yes.
Like Zac Efron?
I wish that. I don't know if they were sexy or not because I was crying because I was nearly dead. I don't know.
Did he put his mouth on yours?
It was a girl, and I was clinging to her with every ounce of my being. I was like, please help me, please help me.
Oh.
Was that horrifying? And still, I get nervous of the ocean. But yes, can I tell you the one thought that I had? Because I was always like, I never want to go by drowning. Never drowning. And it was exactly like I thought. First of all, I'm waving at the people because when you're going to drown, you can't shout. Because all of your capacity to open your mouth and do things is taken up by trying to breathe air while you have a second to breathe air. So I get to the surface and I'm like waving my arms and they're just like, oh, hey. I'm like, I'm going to die, and they're waving at me. And then at some point, and this is the panic that was creeping in, I was like, I can't. I was swimming as hard as I could. I'm getting exhausted. And at some point when you drown, imagine, you have to just breathe in water.
Yeah.
And that's the first step.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so you actively... aware of what's about to happen to you, and you have to make yourself I can't. Like, oh, that's the worst.
Don't you pass out from not breathing?
No, but at some point,
you swallow.
You
water.
Have to swallow. You have to your biological response is after you hold your breath for so long, your lungs automatically take in a breath. Like you can't hold your breath forever, so you're holding your breath, and eventually you're like, there's no air to be had. I'm going to pass out, but I'm going to eventually suck in water instead of air, and that's going to...
Ugh, that just made my insides.
So I still get a little nervous with the ocean.
Wow.
Happy whatever day this is.
Well, welcome to Miguel and Holly Uncensored. My name is Miguel Fuller. That's Holly O'Connor.
Hi.
And that is producer Ryan McGivney.
Yo.
So I guess lice really isn't that bad in this game.
Not
that bad of a situation.
Good old lice. Hey, lice, what's up?
Had a couple of bugs running around my house. No big deal.
My worst nightmare is having someone, shoot me. Like, you know that it's about to happen. Not, if you're shot from behind and you don't know. But to, to me, a home intruder.
Mm.
And so, you're sitting there terrified and they find you and they shoot you. Like, to me, that is, one of, that just... paralyzes me with fear. which is why I have like security systems upon top of security systems for my home, because I'm like,
I have a real cold security system. Stays by my bed.
We call it a gun. We've been in public events before with producer Ryan.
I forgot that Ryan has a gun.
Yeah, and he's just like, don't worry.
He's like,
this.
I got this.
No, I probably don't got this.
No, you probably
but
don't.
Just in case, you know,
you like
I can
you
prevent something and I see an opportunity.
Have you
to,
ever drawn
without
your...
endangering other people? Then yes.
Have you ever drawn your gun because you were afraid something was about to happen and it was like a false alarm?
Never.
See, that's what would scare me and what makes me fearful of having a gun is because I don't want to be, because I'm already like a scared person. And so if, I don't know, like Holly was trying to like plan a surprise for me and she didn't know I was at home and I think someone's breaking in and I'm like, stop, intruder. Or I don't even say that. I just shoot.
Yeah. And then you kill me.
Yeah, exactly.
Like there was one time where somebody weird knocked on the door and I like looked out the window and I'm like, don't know if I should answer this door without anything, you know? So I just kind of like held my hand on the other side of the door and peeked down like, hey, what's up? And it was nothing. But, you know, just in case, like.
True.
But if you're a skittish person.
And I'm not
going
to like show it to them or anything. It's just like, just in case.
You know you got it.
But if you're a skittish person, like you could have shot whoever this was.
Yeah, but I think that you have to go to gun training so you don't be a skittish person.
But you don't have to have gun training to get a gun. That's what's scary.
And a lot of times, like you have to have. It's better to go and shoot it every once in a while because even if you shoot it, you get like that heightened sense. You get that adrenaline.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to learn how to aim it with that adrenaline running
because
you're shaking a lot of times. You don't even know in a situation like that. So you have the fact that you're about to or you already have shot a gun and the situation that's around you also contributing to the heightened sense. So you have to be in that sort of heightened situation sometimes. So, like, to practice with it is good.
Oh.
I don't know if I'd be able to do that. That just freaks me out. Like, the thought of... I mean, like, if at that point, I'm just going to go out. Like, I'm just, like, I'm just... I don't know. That just freaks me out too much. I would be afraid.
I only have it because when I delivered pizzas, the police officer came in and informed us that there were like 5 robberies within that month in the area for like pizza delivery drivers. And then one of the other guys, it was like a bunch of kids or something, I think, but they came up behind him with a rope and put it around his neck.
What the hell?
Yeah. And then I was like, what? And then they just sort of ran away when he turned around to like try to fight them. And they were a bunch of kids just like playing a joke. And I'm like, bitch, that ain't a joke.
No.
You're dead. You're dead. You dumb bitch. You're dead. You're dumb. Bye.
Yeah. And then another driver, when I first started, they took a delivery and he got hit in the face with a brick that goes around a sprinkler. And they took $12 and a large pizza. And he got like kicked around by like 6 people.
What the hell is wrong with people? See, like, I feel like there's more people than not that are fucking crazy.
Yes.
You feel like that? Like, who throws a brick at another human just to get a damn pizza?
Like, if I'm going to throw a brick at someone, I'm going to be paying off my debt.
I guess that's a good question. Why would you throw a brick at someone?
Like, if I had to throw a brick at a person, an innocent person, that means my house is going to be paid off, my student loan's going to be paid off, and I'm going to be just be living fancy free.
It's like that meme, the memes on Facebook. It's like, for example, a little kitten or something. It's like, would you stomp this kitten for $2 million? People are like, they just have like a gif of like a foot stomping.
Oh my God.
I don't know if I'd be able to do that for $2 million.
Taryn and I just had a conversation last night. She was like, speaking of like hypothetical situations.
I do love a good would you rather.
Yeah, it's like, would you, she was like, would you give me up for... like some amount of money, $1 million, whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If like I wasn't gonna be dead, but no one's ever gonna see me again.
Mm.
But do you know this?
I know that she's not gonna be dead?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I know she's safe, but nobody else is ever gonna see her ever again.
And neither are you.
And neither am I.
For $1 million.
So that was one of them.
Oh my God.
And then another one of them was. Or it led to if my memory got her memory got erased and all of our experiences were gone.
Yeah.
And then I had to like She didn't remember me. So
right, you had to woo her all over again.
And I was like, yes.
Wait,
so
wait.
I could win you back, like basically.
But, oh. what was the dollar amount you would go for that?
$2 million.
$2 million. I would. I'd be like,
wait,
I'd be
which
like
one
she
are we
wouldn't.
On?
She wouldn't know that I did that.
Right, but then all of it, you'd be like a millionaire who's wooing her.
Fuck you guys. I don't even want your ass back after that bullshit.
But you wouldn't know, though.
I'm just kidding. Money doesn't mean it's all about experiences in life.
Okay, thank you, Ryan.
My fucking bullshit. Fine. I would tell my boyfriend, Mr. Silver Fox, bitch, make me forget. Make some rich ass white man can come swoop down.
I'm sorry. Have y'all seen that movie where it was like Rachel McAdams and she lost her memory and the husband was there and she's like, I don't remember you, but I do remember my parents. And like the parents didn't really like him that much. And then at the end of the movie, like you thought it was going to be great because they were going to get back together and it's never the same. Like the circumstances were the same. She didn't love him the same.
Oh, wow.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Well, that's a movie, Holly.
Okay.
Exactly. It's real life, so it'd work out.
Oh, okay.
If anything, I could do it better the second time.
Exactly, with more money.
That's what you think.
Yeah,
maybe
with money. And I hide the money until we fall in love again and I tell her the truth and I'm like, bet we got all this money. Yeah, let's go. Oh,
so, Holly.
We should make a movie.
I know, right? Would you have Mr. Dimple's memory erased if you knew you were going to get $10
million? $10
million? $10 million. And you knew because they were going to do some experimental procedure. And they said, you know, we've done this before, but this is like the final test trial. Kay. So we know it's going to happen. You're going to receive $10 million. You can approach him. You can, you know, however you want to approach him. If you want to, for $10 million, would you have his memory wiped?
Men in Black style.
Right.
That's tough.
Of like the past, like basically it'll
since you met.
Yeah. So it'll reset his memory since then.
Oh my gosh.
For $10 million.
I don't know.
That's like the rest of your life money.
Yeah.
You know,
you could invest it. It could keep making money. You know, you could buy that new Bitcoin. Ethereum, Neocoin, whatever's
Bitcoin.
Coming out.
You know what? No, I don't think so. I don't think I would do it because I don't want a chance like whatever. I just feel like, yes, I'd be like sitting pretty, but what if some shit goes sideways and then like whatever fell into place didn't happen the way it did and he's like, this too much. I don't think I'd do it.
I would.
Listen, there's plenty of fish in the sea. If you don't like the taste of that fish,
get a new fish.
Get a new fish.
You
throw it back.
Okay. I'd be like, I'm going to tell Mr. Silver Fox, you're going to forget me for a little bit, but when you remember, we're going to be rich as fuck.
He's not going to remember. He's never going to remember. You have to start from scratch.
That's fine. It'll be even better.
All right.
Anyway, we
y'all
just went
money
down
hungry assholes.
Damn right. I'm trying to feed our mouths for the rest of our lives.
You ain't going to have his mouth, maybe.
I'll have his mouth.
Stop talking about mouths. That reminds me of that clip of David Letterman when he was accused of whatever, and that woman was like,
"Oh my
he's
God,
he's raping them with his mouth."
Oh my God, I have to find that.
I don't remember what it was that David Letterman was accused of. Some nonsense. And they were boycotting his studios, and some woman was so mad because it was something he said.
Yes,
something he said was really bad or something.
Found it.
Okay.
I love this so much. Fire day.
Sidelines, watching of all things. Someone,
wake up!
Close the borders. Close everything down for 20 years. Clean your house, and you'll see how this economy will come back.
Keep children safe from David Letterman's mouth. He will rape them with his mouth.
Oh my God.
He is a child abuser. He is a verbal pedophile.
Oh, wow.
Wake up. Go home and take care of your kids. They could be next.
That woman looks exactly like how you think she looks, by the way.
Are you mad, bro?
That woman is exactly look like what you think she looks like.
I don't even remember what that was about.
I don't either.
I think it was he made a disparaging remark about one of Sarah Palin's daughters.
Oh, maybe that was it. It was something about how she looked. Was that it?
I think. I don't remember.
I don't know either. Was he a verbal pedophile, though, for that?
Wait, I think there what? See, this is the thing.
Was he a verbal pedophile?
I don't remember.
Because now I'm like, that lady sounds crazy, but maybe he was. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Well, because wasn't there a case where he had to pay someone off?
Yeah.
For sexual harassment?
He was like cheating on his wife, though, right?
He said, Sarah Palin went to a Yankees game yesterday. There was one awkward moment during the seventh inning stretch. Her daughter was knocked up by Alex Rodriguez.
And the daughter must have been
underage. And the daughter was 14.
Oh. Yikes. You verbal pedophile.
Wow.
David Letterman, how dare you?
Well, that's awkward.
Yeah, that really is awkward.
Wow. And in the wake of Harvey Weinstein.
That's okay to say.
I know. Not.
But
you see, though, that, how many years ago was that?
That was 2009.
Okay. So, I'm telling you, even that, not even 10 years ago, it was like perfectly okay to just, well, clearly it wasn't because they boycotted CBS right. Studios.
But he was still employed for years.
Oh, yeah. And we are in an atmosphere now where, in a good way, you really can't talk about that kind of shit.
Right.
But also in a not so good way for comedy and for people like us who basically improv shit all day long for our jobs, we are in a very sensitive time.
That's what I'm sort of having a rough time with this whole situation of the Harvey Weinstein. And like you have people like James Corden who did a joke somewhere about it and people were pissed at him.
Mm.
And it's sort of, I mean, and even going back to like Kathy Griffin with the Donald Trump head. It's like, what is off limits and what is okay to still, because Joan Rivers used to always say, I'm an equal opportunity offender. I'm going to make fun of everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But is comedy changing? Does it have to change? Do we have to find other things funny? Do we not make fun of people? And maybe we just find situational things funny, but not actually making fun of people.
I don't know. There is a line that's different now.
Definitely.
I don't know where that line is, though. I mean, I think you have to... I don't know, because I was going to say it comes down to like distastefulness, but like what's the who thinks what is distasteful?
And here's the thing, like I think the reason why this has sort of been personal to me and why I haven't really like posted anything about it is because I've had some guilt myself. Like obviously I'm gay, so you know, I wouldn't sexually harass a woman, but I think back to a year ago when there was that viral video of gay men touching women's breasts for the first time.
Mm.
And then on our sister station, The Bone, they were like, well, let's have Miguel, the gay guy, touch our co-host Carmen's vagina.
Yeah.
And we did this whole bit about it. I didn't want to do it, but then like it was like she said, like I talked to her privately and said, listen, if you don't want this to happen, because we don't have to do this, obviously. I even had my mom on the air to say, is this too inappropriate? But everybody said, for the sake of comedy, that this is funny, and she was okay with it. But I've been like, that's been on my chest and on my mind the past couple days since this Harvey Weinstein stuff. And I'm like, did I put Carmen in an awkward position? Like, did she feel like she had to say yes because it's her job?
Maybe, but I would argue also that you were put in an awkward position on the other side.
Right.
Who said you want to touch her vagina?
I didn't.
Right. So, like, were you coerced into it?
Right.
So, both sides.
And that's why I felt so guilty about it, because I'm like, you know, I could have said no, but then, you know, the rule in radio is you never say no.
Exactly.
You always say yes. You don't want to shut down a bit. But that just, I remember that was like, that's too much. Mm-hmm. Like, that's like, I don't know.
You ever you shouldn't feel bad. You see the comments on those Bone posts when they post Carmen up?
No.
It's like, the men on there are just like so inappropriate.
They're so awful.
Well, I saw one, Holly, on our podcast, or I don't know, podcast, but on Twitter, you had the nose hair extensions from losing headphone karaoke this past week. And then someone said, I'd still fuck you.
Mm.
And then someone was like, dude.
Dude, they were like, bro.
Stop.
Really?
So you like, too, bitch.
So where's the line? Like, you know, he's trying to give you a compliment and be funny.
I know.
And because I've seen this guy on there, like, he's sarcastic a lot.
That's like what his brand of humor is.
Yes.
And I don't feel threatened by that.
Right. So is that the thing, is if you feel threatened? Like, I don't understand, like, where's the line?
That is the problem, I think.
Right.
Because what's funny to someone and they know they don't mean malice is not funny to someone else.
Right.
So in a workplace environment, you always have to err on the side of it's not funny to anybody.
Right.
But for this is where I struggle as a person in radio, because in radio it has been a boys' game for a very long time, and I feel like most women in radio have sort of built up this like, well, I know what's going to happen and what kind of, you know, comments are going to be hurled at me, and it doesn't really affect me. What does affect me is if it feels either menacing or real, or you actually want to do some crazy shit to me. Like, I can understand tone.
Mm.
I'm very perceptive, right. And I can understand what people's tone is. Like, when I saw that on Twitter, I was like, oh, that's just that fucker. Right. Like, I get his tone. But, like, if somebody that I don't know and said it sort of like, you know, he wants to make it happen, that's not okay. And but see, how do you differentiate? Because that line is all over the damn place.
Right.
So I guess for... putting aside radio, for most workplaces, you just err on the side of you just can't make that kind of comment.
So,
and certainly, like, that errs on the side of sexual harassment, potentially.
Right.
But then when they look at a case, like if you bring it to someone's attention, and I was reading this article about how they determine whether something is sexual harassment or not.
Mm-hmm.
There are some very strict stipulations on what constitutes. Like, is it a one-off comment? Mm. Is it said in a joking manner? How did it make you feel? Was it repeated? Is it menacing? Is it all of this? And so I think that's how you have to look at it, by what the standards say. But then that's a whole different thing from like assault. And I think everybody knows what assault is.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Where it's you actually are touched coerced into touching or something like that.
Have you ever in like a work setting, like since I've known you, felt threatened or harassed by a coworker that we've worked with? And obviously you don't have to name any names, but I'm just curious if you ever felt that way. Are uncomfortable with the things they said or how they touched you?
Better not tell them, Holly.
See, is that too much? Like,
right,
no.
Right.
I honestly don't think any time in recent memory. I mean, it has happened to me while I've been working. Some of it was like off the clock. There was one specific incident when I was younger that really made me uncomfortable, and I didn't want to go do remotes for that place anymore, but then I had to. It was a car place in Toledo, and so I went, and I was like, you know, dressed up for the remote, and I had a skirt on, and the guy actually touched the side of my leg and was like, you need to wear this outfit every time you come. And I was like... what the fuck?
Wow.
And so then I didn't want to go anymore, and the next time I had to go, I wore pants, and he was like, I told you not to come in pants. And it was just...
Wow.
Yeah, that, like, happens. I was what?
How does that make you feel when that happens? Because
Just gross. It makes you feel
gross.
No
one's ever been like, Miguel, you better wear them short shorts. Most people are like, please don't wear them again.
Right.
So, like, I can't understand what it's like to have someone say that to you knowing that they're looking at you in a sexual manner.
Well, if you know someone is looking at you with that intent and that is not, like, that's not your partner, you don't want any part of that, it's just... it feels kind of shameful.
Mm.
Like, so then for the first remote that I went to, I'm standing there and I remember exactly what the skirt looked like too. And it was a little bit, it was like kind of a handkerchief cut. So it's a little shorter on one side. And I did the whole rest of the remote and I had to like bend down and get stuff.
Mm.
And that actually changed. I never wore another skirt to another remote ever, because you do have to bend down and get stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And like the rest of the time, I know that they're there, that the guy was there. And so I'm just trying not to then do anything else to like draw attention to myself. Like, I'm like, well, this was a bad move on my part. So I'm trying not to let anything extra show. And then you don't want to make eye contact because you don't want them to think that that's what you want.
Mm.
So it's just really uncomfortable. But then you also have to be professional. Otherwise, they'll be like, well, you're blah, blah, blah. Wasn't very good. So you have to just kind of smile. And you know what? It just makes you feel uncomfortable.
Right.
And that wasn't like a nothing... bad hat, like he didn't go take me in the back or anything, like so that, I mean, I've never had a situation. I've had situations where people tell me things that are uncomfortable or just look at you a certain way, like I don't know, it just makes you feel gross.
Ryan, and like being completely honest, like I make sexual jokes at you all the time.
I was just gonna say I know how you feel, because
I know
Miguel.
I know. I'm always like I think it's funny.
No, it's funny.
But seriously, have you ever felt uncomfortable?
No.
Okay.
It's funny.
Because I, and like, this is literally like making
to
me
it's
rethink.
Funny as like how I am. So
right, because like there's someone we work with, a salesperson who one time I put him on my, because especially when I was single, I would snap like attractive people and just circle with a red circle. And there was a guy who works with us in the sales department who I did that to, and he's very attractive. And people were like saying really nice things. They're like, "Oh my gosh, he's really attractive," men and women. Mm-hmm. And I went up to him the next day. I said, "Oh my God, look at all these people. They think you're really attractive. That's so cool." And I could instantly feel his energy change. And he was like, "Please don't do that. Like, that makes me uncomfortable." And I felt like a piece of shit. And that's why I kind of stopped doing it a lot to people.
Well, it is kind of objectifying people.
It is. It is. And I thought it was, like, funny. But then, like, I saw, like, I felt his energy change. And I was like, all right, this isn't funny anymore. I need to stop doing that. And that's why I don't do it anymore, because I felt that.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, God, what if someone did that to me, but it wasn't being in a very nice way? I wouldn't want that. And so I stopped doing that. So I think what it really takes is for us to be a little bit more empathetic, mm-hmm. and really think about how are my actions being perceived by the person who I'm sending this to?
Right.
And is this truly a joke, or is this being serious? Because I think like there's one thing, and Holland, you can speak on this more so. Like if you, like you said about tone, if you feel like it's a joke, sort of like how I, like if I were straight, and like what I say to Ryan, if I said that to you, mm-hmm. but you understand my tone,
and we have a prior relationship,
right? Like, would you feel uncomfortable by those sort of things?
No, because you know, like our oh gosh.
Well, some people,
the guy we used to work
people...
with used to say like some really ridiculous shit.
Our old
co-host.
Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah.
And it would just be like, I'd be like, this bitch. I wasn't ever mad. I knew that nothing bad was ever. It was a safe area, like,
right.
And so it's, I guess I knew the tone and I knew the context. I'm sorry, Ryan, what were you going to say?
Well, he said the prior relationship thing, but like you guys are on the same page, but a lot of the ones I've been seeing are just like people that have that relationship established already.
True. And then,
like,
and then it
stuff
crosses
changes
a line.
And there's a line crossed, and then it's harder for you to just say no or disregard that person because you have that trust built and that relationship built.
Right. Mm. I feel like I've been coerced into sex by people like that before.
Really?
Because I feel like, well, like if it was like, you know, like a past relationship or something, and then it's like, well, you did. You said, I don't really want to now, but I feel like sort of have to. Like,
I think especially if you're younger and you haven't really experienced like relationship building to a whole deeper extent like that, you're like, is this how it goes?
Right.
Is this like a normal thing between somebody? And then like once you get older, you obviously realize that that's disgusting.
Yeah.
But
when someone is like, come on,
like,
just
a lot of people
do it.
Experience
yeah.
stuff like that. So.
Yeah. And if you, basically no does mean no. And so,
right.
But it's so hard when you are even like in a husband wife situation, this happens a lot where a husband, for example, I'm sure it could happen the other way, but a husband is like, just give me a blowjob. And you're like, I don't want to right now. Just fucking do it.
Oh.
Like, just come on. And then the tone changes, like cajoling and then demanding. And then it's finally like you get worn down. You're like, fine. By the way, who wants a blowjob after I just went, fine?
Like that, like, made my insides like shrivel it.
I know. Nobody like, does. But people do, by the way.
That's so funny. Even in a relationship, like, I'm like, do you want to? And he's like, I'm like, okay, never mind.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
Please,
yeah, I know. I just forgot. I think I buried this. There was this kid in high school, and this was like my first real sexual experience. No, second sexual experience.
Mm-hmm.
I did not have sex in high school. I didn't have sex till college. But there was this kid who was really popular in high school who was not the most attractive kid, but still like ran well with all the popular people. And so we were in the play together, and nobody ever paid attention to me, so that's probably why I never had sex. But for some reason he thought that I was really pretty, which was flattering.
Mm-hmm.
But then he called me and was like, let's hang out one day. And I was like, oh my gosh, he wants to hang out with me, like he's popular.
Mm-hmm.
So of course I went over to hang out. Well, you know, he wanted to like do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So like we kissed, but I was like, this is not what I thought this would be like. And so then he just was like, let's have sex. And I was like, I'm not having sex with you, because I was a virgin.
Right.
He's like, okay, well, just suck it a little bit. And I was like, Oh my God.
Oh.
Like in that moment, I was like, I don't have an option right now because I can't just
suck
leave.
It a little bit.
Yeah. I had never even like understood. I didn't know what like that was. I was so naive, you guys. And so I just felt like if I leave right now, he's going to tell people at school bad things. God, I totally forgot about this. Or like he's not going to like me and then he's going to make fun of me or whatever's going to happen. So then I just like did it. It was awful. It was so bad.
How long did it last for?
I don't know. Like, I don't really remember. A couple minutes.
And then how did it stop? Were you like, all right, I'm done?
No, he did.
Oh.
I didn't know what to do.
Oh, Holly.
God. It was so bad.
That makes me feel so bad for you.
That was the first thing that ever
happened. Do you remember how you felt afterwards?
You gotta give the tap.
What?
Give him the tap.
What's that?
The tap. You didn't let him know.
What, that it's over?
The end is coming.
No, but I see. Maybe he did do that, but I didn't know what that.
You didn't know. Well, one of my well, I don't want to say who it was, but she told me about her first sexual experience like that, and the first time that she did that, she didn't know what was coming at the end of that. And she was very surprised, and things happened. It was very awkward for her because things.
Oh my God!
I don't even want to talk about it, even though it's
like when
podcast.
You laugh and
and the milk comes out of your nose. Yeah,
got it. There was not a dance around. We got it.
Miguel's like pointing at his nose, and nobody can see that on the radio.
But like, thank God that didn't happen. I can't imagine.
Oh my God! But how did you? So we're because here. This is what
it's
I see
called a
happening.
White dragon.
Oh God. So here's what I see happening right now is that in the past, we would talk about these experiences. We're like, oh my God, that's so crazy. We'd laugh about it. But now we're seeing that there's so much pain associated with it. So I don't want to just laugh and make it seem like
it's
very
better
small,
for me that you can that I can laugh about it. And maybe some people it's not. And I respect that.
How did you feel after that happened?
Oh, not good. I was like, so that happened.
Ugh.
I didn't tell anybody. And everybody's like, oh my gosh, is Mike? Oh, I say his name. Sorry. I want to say his last name. Did he like
Mike?
You?
I know Mike.
I was like, nope, he doesn't. That's fine. But then he would always like rub up on, and then like in the car, like when we would come, I would come off the stage for one part and he was like in the dark by the curtains. He would like touch me and I'd be like, please get off me. Oh my God. But then my mom even was like, that seems like a nice young man. Are you going to date him? I was like, no, I'm not.
Absolutely not.
And so every time he'd call, because he had to call the house phone, my mom'd be like, that nice young man's on the phone. I'm like, you're not that nice.
Oh, my God.
So, but I'm like, I'm busy. And so I would just find every excuse not to have to go over there. And like, there's only so many times you can say no. It's ridiculous.
And you had to go again?
I think I did go one more time, but then I left quickly. Like, I didn't do that again.
Wow. But, so now that you remember that experience, when your daughter gets to that age, when she's, you know, interested, what will you tell her?
I think I'll have a much more open conversation with her than my mom ever had with me.
Right.
And it's hard for parents because you feel like, oh my God, like I'm imparting this on my small child that you've raised since like they were innocent.
Mm-hmm.
But there comes a line when someone got to break the innocence.
Right.
I feel like it might as well be me.
Yeah.
So I would be like, because my mom, here's how she said it. She was like talking about like the birds and bees, quote unquote. She was like, guys want different things than you want. And it was very confusing.
Right.
You know, like she knows what she's talking about, but clearly I have no concept of any of this.
You're like, what do you mean,
I'm
Mom?
I'm like, be plain. But she's like, physically just feels good for them, but you might like them and they might not. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? I will try to be as blunt without being crude with my daughter as I can so that she knows.
Well, don't they have
what's
that
coming
in like fifth grade? Like,
yeah, but they don't tell you about that shit.
They
like,
don't talk about the emotional side of it though.
Yeah, and they don't talk about perhaps like being this, at some popular boys high school popular boy at his house, mm-hmm, and he wants to make you suck it a little bit. Like, they don't tell you that in fifth grade.
I know, but they're already at that at like fifth grade. I mean, they're like,
yeah, in fifth
that
grade, they know about
things
sex
are starting to happen.
So I would say whenever a sex ed happens
like the
in school,
other kids talking and stuff.
Yeah,
you know.
I would then, you know, what is that called? I would come up on that with the same information, but more like what she needs to know about it.
If you had a son, what would you tell him?
Same thing. And
I never got any talks.
And then understand? Did you never get any talks?
No.
So how did you learn about sex?
Public school.
But how did you learn about like what was appropriate and not appropriate with girls?
I don't know. I just knew.
Some people do.
Some people don't, though.
Yeah, some people don't.
Like old homeboy who made you suck it a little bit.
Right?
I don't know. I don't know. I just kind of...
He was just really sweaty.
Don't really know. It just sort of appeared.
I just, this is all so...
It just happens to everyone. It just really does. I feel like almost everyone. I had a, there's something that I'm not, I don't know if I'll ever be ready to talk about that happened. And that happened when I was 12. And I didn't even know what was about to happen. And nothing terrible happened, but like it was on a path of not good. And the person stopped, thankfully, because I wouldn't have known what was going on. But like it just happens to so many people and you don't even realize it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely think this whole Harvey Weinstein, it's opened up such a huge conversation for people that it's just been so eye-opening.
I think it's good.
No, I think it's terrific.
That at
I
least the conversations are happening.
They need to happen. And I mean, and I feel, I just, my heart goes out to everyone. Like I read this one radio girl from Miami, her Facebook page last night. And she talked about listeners because she's worked for a lot of rock stations and she's had like listeners at events like unzip her dress and leave her topless. I mean, and they were drunk and at a bar and she was scared and they had to subdue, but they didn't kick the guy out. They just had to keep a watchful eye over her.
Yeah.
Because it was a listener. I mean, right. And so you just read these stories, it just hurts your heart.
And I do want to say, I mean, obviously the focal point is women here. And I think that's good because you don't want to come in. It's the same thing with breast cancer, like, or like if you're having a rally for ovarian cancer research, you don't want someone to bust in and be like, well, what about brain cancer? Like,
right.
Okay. Yes, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I do understand that men have been harassed too.
Most definitely.
And I mean, there are boys that were inappropriately touched as well as girls, and it happens to both genders, and I'm not unaware of that fact.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I was just thinking, speaking of radio people, a guy that I used to work with in radio had this woman come up to him and like pull his shirt up and lick him starting at his belly button all the way up his chest.
Oh,
and I was
my
like,
gosh.
That is disgusting. Like,
wow.
She was drunk, but like that's inappropriate.
No, that's a hugely inappropriate.
That's assault. Like you can't do that to someone.
Wow.
And so like, you know, we laughed it off, but like that's the same thing.
Wow.
It happens a lot.
Wow. Well, on that note.
Oh, dear. Sorry. Let's end with something fun.
We had a lot of stuff to get to today that we didn't talk about.
One, two.
Yeah, but we have a meeting we have to get to. Anybody have any funny, fun things to say before we leave?
I had lice, y'all. Well, actually, I didn't. I only had two little eggs.
I'm really excited because I found out last night, or it was decided I'm going to Buffalo, New York with my boyfriend, Mr. Silver Fox.
This is make or break, you know.
It is. It's, you know, I've actually never spent time with a boyfriend's parents before.
Are you nervous?
Yes. Here's the thing with our entire situation. It's all just felt right. Like, I've never felt nervous. I didn't feel like when we were like, all right, we're going to, you're going to go to Buffalo. This is the time where in the past when a situation like this has happened, I was like, ooh, like, I don't know. That's a lot. Like, that's, let's just pump the brakes a little bit. But I'm like, okay, cool. That sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be there with his family and his friends for 5 or 6 days. And there's like no apprehension. There's no nervousness. I'm really excited.
Good. That's a good sign.
It's just this whole experience with him has just been completely different. And it's just felt so, it just fits.
Mm-hmm. I can understand that.
Hmm. Over under?
What does that mean?
Over under, Holly?
Over under what, though?
We did this for you.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, what does that mean? For, like, if it'll last?
Till you guys get married.
Oh.
I give it about 2 years.
Oh.
Because old bitch ass over here is going to like, well, that's a lot. But he'll secretly want to do it. But then he'll feel like as a gay man, he didn't have the 2 years.
2 years.
2 years.
I will say what kind of scared me a little bit was I was in Atlanta for Atlanta Pride this weekend. And I sort of hang out with like all of my college friends. And there's one friend in particular, John, who someone described him one time as an Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh.
He's just a little cantankerous.
He is. And literally every single boyfriend I have had since we have been best friends since college, he's always like, I don't know about him. And even when he gets to know him, he'll be like, well, Miguel. And I'm like, John, it's fine. And when we were hanging out this weekend, he was like, we were all drinking the first night, and our other best friend, Brandon, was asking me about him. And John was like, y'all listen. And John's not one to make big proclamations ever. He just sits and listens until he's like,
yeah.
He was like, Miguel will be married in 2 years. He'll be the first one out of all of us married.
Oh.
And I was like, stop it.
Damn.
I got your photos.
They're going to be beautiful, though.
Wow. That's weird. Like, honestly.
So, see, this is what I just said. Did I not just say? So, I just said that's why it's going to take 2 years.
So, 2020, and I'll mark off February 3rd.
No, but here's what's weird, though. Is I've said this before, like,
did I just say this exact... Okay, go ahead. No, you go.
No, I'm just saying that, like, I never envisioned a marriage, a commitment ceremony. Mm-hmm. And, like, now that, like, when it became a reality for gay people to get married, I was like, well, that's nice. But that's... Like, it still felt like it was unreal because I was like, well, that I won't... And people I've dated in the past, I kind of knew it wasn't going to work out. And I was like, But now that I'm like, what does that look like? I even was like, what does it look like when we're like 55?
You got to figure out if you want kids. Yeah, not now. You don't have to figure out right this minute. But I would say probably you want to make that decision and like be on a path before you hit 40.
Like, that's
like enough. Nobody wants 50-year-olds, like, it's going to keep you young if you're 50.
Right.
That'd be fun, but you old as fuck then. And, like, and I'm sorry if you're 50 and you're listening, but you know it's true. Like, right. You don't want to be chasing after a 2-year-old when you're 50. I'm just saying.
Like, that just seems so weird. Like, when I think about my life right now and, like, the things that I struggle and grapple with. And, like, can you imagine me coming in here and being like, girl... Old Ray Ray.
I hope you have a kid named Ray Ray.
Is sick, and I'm tired. I didn't get any sleep last night.
Yeah, I could picture that happening.
Do you? I literally cannot envision myself as a parent.
But see, I never envisioned how it was gonna go when I was before I had a kid.
Right.
Like but see, it's a little different for women because at one point I think I hit 30 and I was like, maybe I should try to have a kid. So, but I never envisioned like, you know, waking up at such and such an hour. That's not how that worked. It's just the general thought of it.
It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we'll end on that.
Please, like, I can't wait to go back and listen to me say exactly what I just said and you just say it again.
All right, Holly, what's all your social media?
It is Radio Holly on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter, and Holly on Hot 101.5 on Facebook.
Producer Ryan.
Radio McGib, MCGIB, on all the things.
All the things. My name is Miguel Fuller, MIGUELFULLER. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat.
Twitter!
And on Facebook, you can find me at Radio Miguel. On Facebook.com/Radio Miguel. You can find Miguel and Holly Uncensored at Hot1015TampaBay.com.
Whoop, whoop.
You can find it on the Hot1015 app. And also, you can find it on iTunes. Just type in Miguel and Holly Uncensored. And make sure to please rate and subscribe. And tell a friend. Tell a friend to listen to Miguel and Holly Uncensored. Until next week, bye, bitch. Bye.
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 Bye. Oh, damn. Bye. Hold on. I clicked the wrong button. Dang. I was over here all ready to go, but I wasn't.
Okay.
All right. On the count of three, everyone say bye, bitch. 1, 2, 3. Bye, bitch.
Bye, bitch. Bye, bitch.
Ryan!
Bye.
Stop texting on your bye. Goddamn phone. 1, 2, 3.
Bye, bitch. Bye, bitch.
Want more Miguel and Holly? Listen to past episodes of Miguel and Holly Uncensored at Hot 101.5 TampaBay.com, the Hot 101.5 app, or on iTunes.